Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, "Hey, Marky"? It might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
The teams that take a 2-0 lead in a five-game series in the history of Major League Baseball are 80-10 when it comes to winning that series edition. We'll have less sleep, but we won't be grumpy after the Brewers beat the Cubs. Sorry, I was told they don't hit enough home runs to be good in the postseason edition. And by the way, Christian Watson's back again. He's going to be playing before Halloween, Tausch is right again edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, and all-customizable, so you can put Wilde and Tausch in that first position, the ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores and serves as a fine alternative for me and for others while we wait for our Spotify issues to be resolved. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson, after his well-deserved day off, he's back in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is the man who spreads good vibes throughout AmFam Field with some help from UW Credit Union and walked out a winner, although I couldn't tell if he was wearing his jersey or not, quite frankly. But zoomed in very closely as he was doing his video as he departed AmFam Field. He is the Packers Hall of Famer. He's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. I thought I'd be more tired. I'm a little bit groggy, but the game took a while. That first 2-3 innings was electric, but it was slow, and I think I don't know what time we ended up getting out of there, 11:30-ish. Jesse, what time did you get out?
Out of the parking lot?
Yeah.
The game actually only lasted 2 hours and 57 minutes.
That's 3 hours.
So it ended just after 11
o'clock. Jocko loved how long it lasted.
Yeah, a little after 11, okay.
I can tell you, we got in the car. We parked on Blue Mound Road, and we took one of Magoo's on the mound. We stopped in there
took
the shuttle in.
Yep. I hear Stacy Bruner likes that
Stacy Bruner and his dad were there, which was awesome. So we got in the car to head back at 11:45.
That's not bad at all.
Not bad at all. No.
So? I wasn't there. You two were there. What was it like?
Okay, so I could cut it from...
It was awesome! It was so cool!
Remember that time that Churio hit that home run? That was awesome.
I was trying to figure out... I was listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on my drive back this morning. And there were so many moments that were like, this is why this is great. Obviously, Vaughn hitting the 3-run home run in the first inning was critical. Yeah. You're kind of just settling in, and who's the dude, the Cubs guy that hit the 3-run home run?
Suzuki?
He hits the 3-run homer, and I'm thinking, boy, there's a lot of Cubs fans in here, because it got...
Say you later.
It got semi-loud. And, of course, then everybody is saying, well, you know, it shouldn't have pitched Ashby. That was a mistake. And it turns out, the old riverboat, Pat, he crapped out on that one. It didn't work. It just didn't work. But old boy Vaughny comes back, and all right, then it's almost like, all right, the slate's clean. We eradicated the crap out. Now what are you going to do? And you bring Ashby back out. He labors. And I thought a couple of things then. When Mears came in that second, right, Jesse, and shut that down with first runners on first and second, and I thought there was – that's when you got your first big exhale. Mm-hmm. So you had your jumping out the gym raucousness. And the weird thing about Vaughn's home run, most of the times you know when it's the crack of the bat. This thing was so blank and high, and the outfielders are good at like not giving it away. And you're kind of like, I think he got it, but you see him still drifting back, and then finally the thing ends up going second deck, and everybody is just going bananas. It was awesome. It's like,
so our seats were out by the left field foul pole. Yep. We were some of the only ones, I think, who could tell off the bat it had the distance. Everyone else in the stadium, I'm talking to other people, they didn't know.
We were paused, like, I think he got it, but I couldn't tell for sure. And then when it did, everybody erupts. And again, that to me was, it was obviously a critical spot. But that was more of a, whew, all right, slate, clean, let's go. Well, now what are we going to do? And to me, the biggest, is when he brought Miz out. Because it showed up that he's warming up after the second. And I was kind of looking at it like, boy, old boy is really rolling the dice tonight. You could go with the easy play and bring Priester out, and then you have Quintana to pitch down in Chicago. And it felt like he was really just saying, it reminded me of Major League when Lou Brown brought in Vaughn. It's like, I just got a hunch. They both throw smoke. Obviously, Miz has struggled with location. He labored a little bit early, but you looked up on that, in the right field box, and every pitch is a 104, a 103. He's throwing 100, and they're like, oh, he's taking a little bit off. The Miz was the magic for me last night. And that sounds crazy because Contreras hits a bomb and does the flex. That one I knew was gone off the jump. Mm-hmm. But the Miz and getting out of it and pitching 3 innings, that to me was the highlight of the game last night. Even though there were 2 3-run homers and a solo shot by Contreras, the Miz stole the show for me last night. And all of that. And then after Miz came out and when Chorio hit the absolute bomb, I love the fact their center, what's their center fielder's name? Armstrong?
Pete Crow Armstrong. PCA.
So he fakes like he's going to catch. The ball is like third deck, like gone.
Off the batter's eye.
And then my favorite part is he's firing his glove like a petulant child out there. All of that, and then after that, it was not anticlimactic, but the beauty of playoff baseball is every pitch, like if it's a one-run game or if it's you're down one, everything is like you're chewing on your nails. Last night, once we went up 7-3, it was kind of like, all right. And to the Brewers bullpen's credit, there wasn't any much. After Miz got out of the game, the drama was nada. There's no drama.
One hit they gave up after the first inning.
So you just got so much action packed in, and it was like a sugar rush. And by the sixth or seventh inning, it was – you kind of started crashing. Then I would say it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. The mojo of the building was still great, but really after Miz came out and obviously when Churio hit the 3-run dong, it was a – kind of a room service night. And so you've got to feel all of the emotions and that now the excitement of we're one away from hosting an NLCS. And that gives you a little picture of how I worked last night.
So when you say it was not anticlimactic, but kind of anticlimactic once it was 7-3 and they mowed down 15 straight hitters, and as Jesse mentioned, one blank damn hit, as Bob Uecker says in Major League, did you consider an early departure?
No.
You start post-game shows early, but you were not leaving early.
Well, I just think when you looked at it, the game felt totally in control.
I would agree.
You just put it, once you got past Miz, and there's a little bit of, Patrick's coming in, okay. And then you don't even realize, he's throwing 97, 98 mile an hour seeds too. It's like... I loved Council getting booed all the time. Like the whole mojo in the building was just phenomenal. Like, you can't beat playoff baseball. I said that yesterday. I say it all the time. It's just different. And this team, what I think you love about it is the resiliency. But you just never felt like, obviously Vaughn's home run was huge. I don't know if they would have started pressing if it didn't go. But you just always feel like there's different ways that they find to win. Last night it was the long ball. I don't know what it's going to be down in Chicago. I don't know. I don't know if it's going to be a grinder and we're going to have to come back. Now I'm just fascinated. It sounds like midnight Murphy puts out that Priester's going to pitch game 3, right, Jell?
I mean, they said he was going to probably pitch in game 2 for a week, and then he didn't. So who knows?
No, but I mean, he announced it, I think, last night.
I believe Priester is pitching tomorrow. Yes.
So just the gamesmanship and the fact they put Turner in to start the game, and like all that jostling, and it's just fun. It's just fun. And obviously, it's a lot more fun when your team wins. Because
that may factor in.
I feel like this morning's conversation, let's say we lose 3-2 last night. I feel like we would be crushing Pat Murphy this morning, because the roll of the dice that he went big on failed, and it failed pretty violently, like 3-run violently. But to go to the Miz, we didn't know if the Miz would pitch, and then to trust that he could go 3 innings and to do what he did. First off, give Miz a ton of credit for being able to step in there and calm it himself. And it was just, I don't know about you, Jesse. I just felt as if that was everything. You go to a game and you hope for a lot of fun and a lot of drama, and you got it for about 5 or 6 innings. And then fans like to be able to just bask in winning and see the Cubs fans all pouty and mopey and an old boy firing his glove like a petulant child. It just covered everything. That's what I liked.
PCA seems like he's one of those guys that's kind of easy to dislike if he's not on your team.
The Grayson Allen of the Chicago Cubs, very much so.
Well, he made a great catch in the gap in left center last night. I don't know. He is a smooth center fielder. He's smooth.
But unlikable.
Yes.
Jesse, how was your experience after you hung out with Stacy Bruner at Magoo's?
We had an awesome time yesterday. So Joe and I got together in the afternoon. We got down to Magoo's, took the shuttle in, enjoyed some Coors Light, saw a couple of friends in the stadium as we were getting our way over to the seats. We got in like an hour and a half before first pitch, so we had a lot of time to bounce around, kind of take in the atmosphere. Got to our seats out in left field. And
what time did you go down there? At 9 a.m.?
No, we a little bit later in the day. Corey and Rufus were over until about 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon. So we had a nice little day yesterday.
You still think that was the right move?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Nobody else does. Just so you know.
That's fine. Okay. It was so fun. Tausch hit all the major points. I mean, the drama, the realization that we came to sitting out in left field once Miz came in the third inning, that holy smokes.
Did you think that was crazy?
I just assumed what we had heard for 2 weeks going into this thing was it was Freddie Peralta game one, Quinn Priester game two, and then we'll figure it out. And then all of a sudden, they announced Sunday that Ashby was starting. We're like, okay, that's interesting. Like, play the lefty matchups at the start and then expect Priester to come in. And all of a sudden, Nick Mears comes in and gets out of the jam. And then the Miz comes in. And when the Miz came in, Joe and I looked at it, we're like, he's not pitching Priester today. That rascal Pat Murphy.
That rascal.
He's not pitching Priester today. And the fact
it's time to have a conversation about Pat Murphy's pitching rotation.
The fact that seven pitchers and six combining for one hit baseball throughout the course of that game after the Ashby flub in the first inning, that was remarkable. It was pushing all the right buttons perfectly. And now it sets you up where you get Freddie Peralta on full rest, Quinn Priester a chance to pitch tomorrow to close it out, and then you still have another chance. If for whatever reason both of those don't work, you have another opportunity to try and go win it. Three chances to win one game.
Will he start Ashby again?
I mean, I hope it doesn't come to that. I think Priester pitches tomorrow. I hope they close him out in Wrigley, and that's
it. No blank, blank, but I'm asking if.
I could definitely see whether it's against the Dodgers in the NLCS or against the Cubs if it goes a little longer than we hope here. I could see him running the same plan out there again based on matchups, yeah.
So I thought one of the things that probably is going to get overlooked, because I hit most of the big talking points of how the game played.
Before you say that, can we just again emphasize how good the Miz was and how, like, the home run from Vaughn is enormous. I get that. 2 3-run homers in the same game, like, from a team that was allegedly not homerific enough. But for Mizorowski to pitch the way he did, given the control issues and the concerns about him heading into the postseason, for him to do what he did, and the fact that he kind of admitted that he didn't want to throw that ball to first base because he might know where it was going to go. Like, I just thought that was the game. Because if he goes in there and starts walking guys left and right and doesn't have control, suddenly the Cubs have life.
Yeah, they would have pulled him. But, yeah, the Miz, again, if you go 1 of 2, which is what I think Murph did last night with his dice rolls, it crapped out. But with the Miz, you know, when you're throwing dice in craps, you want the dice shaker, and in this case, he handed the dice over to Miz. You want him to hold the dice. You don't want him crapping out. And it got a little ugly. He put a couple of hard points out there, a 4, maybe an 11, maybe a 10. And, you know, he's out there shaking, but he never rolled that 7 to crap out. He kept getting it. Mm-hmm. And as you kept going, you kept raking in that cash. You kept getting it, and you just kept allowing your team to try and chip away. So if you can do that and you can overcome the miscue, or it turns out you won the game, so you can't be overly judgmental, but it didn't work the way he wanted at all. Right. He didn't even get through 2 innings. He had to bring Mears in, all of that. But I thought one of the sneaky parts of this, and the back end of your lineup, which they've been good and they've been criticized. I thought when Durbin got hit, and then I don't remember who made the out. Was it who's hitting in the 8th slot last night?
Blake Perkins.
Perkins gets out, so there's 2 outs. And Ortiz is up, and you're kind of like, at this point it's 4-3. You're kind of like, all right, whatever. Ortiz, not a great hitter, right? It is what it is. Good, great fielder. And he just kept battling. And when he got that base hit to extend the inning, I think that part of the game, everybody's going to talk Churio. Everybody's going to talk about Vaughn. Everybody's going to talk about the Miz. And then you're going to talk about the bullpen. I think that at bat signifies everything you need to know about this team. And for him to battle, and then find a way on, and an old boy hits the absolute bomb, and then the kid out in center's firing his glove like a petulant kid. That, to me, encapsulated everything about last night.
Petulant, peninsula. What's your favorite word these days? Because I've heard a lot of petulant today.
Well, go ahead and look at what he did. He threw his glove like
he threw his glove like a pee-wee kid.
Yeah.
One other thing, I was
fun to me when you break somebody like that. That's what's beautiful about the psychology of sport.
I agree.
Obviously incredibly invested. He's a really good player. And first off, you see the picture of him trying to rob that home run. I mean, he's off by 100 feet. You know, I get a kick out of that. And then he takes his glove and fires it like a petulant kid. Yeah. It's fun to watch that. That's when you know you're in somebody's head. And they knew at that point, our road to trying to advance this playoffs just got a lot tougher after he tried to rob that 419-foot home run. And he's sitting there at 385 feet.
What about the fact that we didn't know if Churio was going to play?
That was the other dice roll to me. And that obviously came up big time. So you're not going to win big if you don't make some big moves. That was, I think, I thought I saw him grimacing a little bit. He made a great catch down, probably by Jesse, down on that left field line. And I thought he was a little grimacy. But at this point, I think unless he's Yank City, USA, he ain't going to be out there. And, man, what a performance by him. Great. Yeah. I should have probably taken him as my Steinhoffler. That's the thing I learned. That's a lesson learned.
Well, you've also learned an important lesson that others need to learn, and that is if you're going to get new windows, you need to get them from Pella.
And, of course, we saw Gina last night. She was there with her wonderful husband. And when it comes to your home, the smart play is to trust Gina Della and her great team at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. This month only, you can score a whole house of new, energy-efficient Pella windows for as low as $297 a month with zero interest for up to 60 months. It's like a drive you can sustain for years, keeping your home comfortable, thanks to the incredible defense played by Pella Windows, stopping all of the drafts. Don't wait. Schedule your free consultation today at PellaWI.com.
While we were all tuned in to the Brewers game, ESPN published why Giannis Antetokounmpo's future in Milwaukee is far from settled from Shams. TLDR, as the kids say. Too long, didn't read, but Jesse read it for us. He'll fill us in on what it says next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We'll get back to the Brewers and get to the Packers at some juncture, but I did manage to read this entire story from Shams during the commercial break. Jesse, as someone who is prone to worrying, when I read this, it sounds to me, based on Shams' reporting and the explanation of his contract, is that a year from now, in October of 2026, is when his, and I'm quoting here, peak leverage, moment of peak leverage will arrive. Is this wrecking your vibe with your Brewers excitement and everything else that you read this? Because I can see if you're a Bucks fan how you would be not only concerned, but also probably annoyed. Because it does feel like, and I don't know Shams at all, but man, do people love conjecturing on what this guy's going to do.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a downer. I'm glad I first saw it and that it was published this morning when I'm super tired and drinking an extra cup of coffee instead of riding the high last night.
Just wait a second. What did we learn? Like, he's been saying this for 2 years.
So there's nothing really new, and that's what I was
about
to say.
Okay, so what is...
Wait, do we know that they engaged in actual conversations with the Knicks?
So, I guess it hasn't been said.
Confirmed?
It hasn't been said this explicitly, but yes, in this article, Sham says Giannis said the one team he would consider playing for outside of Milwaukee was the Knicks.
Okay.
So,
and that they had conversations with them, but that the Knicks didn't really have much to their offer was not, or their initial conversations.
So what's interesting about that? Because everybody wants Giannis. Okay, everybody does. Is it the fact that there were somebody picked up a phone, or what do we care?
So when I read this, I thought, who has what to gain from this article?
Because
that was my thought too.
And I think the answer is Shams and NBA conversation is a big part of it. And then,
the NBA needs to just chill.
And I think the Knicks have something to gain because they fired their coach after making the conference final last year and couldn't find a good coach again, so they needed some good PR.
Gain? They end up looking like they're going to trade half their team. You think that's going to help them? But they don't have anybody worth it that the Bucks would want? How does that help the Knicks?
Fan morale saying,
for what?
Yeah,
they didn't
look,
get anything done.
They're pursuing a championship.
No,
they're in.
It actually alienates the guys on their roster.
Jalen Brunson's
you're never
going
to get Giannis that way. So what does it do? Gives you hope for 26? They went to the conference finals last year, right?
They did.
Okay.
Lost to a team that went 7 games in the NBA finals.
This is a much ado about nothing. I don't know why you'd put it out now. Is it because it's just like, I don't get this. What are we doing? We had a conversation. This is like you and Pablo's birthday party. I don't know. We maybe started thinking about having a conversation. What do you think? The New York called, hey, you know, Giannis might want to come here. That's great. You don't have anybody we want. So beat it, nerd.
In the article.
Like, that's kind of where we're at.
It's the Knicks. Yeah, the Knicks say the Bucks weren't really serious about having the
conversation. The Bucks don't want to trade him. Now, if you came out and said, Giannis went and said, boy, we were in Brooklyn, because remember, he's pushing a stroller around New York. That's what I remember from the summer. And that's when everybody's like, oh, boy, what's he doing in New York? Da, da, da. And if it was like Giannis said, hey, I want to go to New York, figure it out. That's a story. Oh, maybe there might be a conversation about maybe wanting to do this. And let peak leverage be next year. Let's talk about it next year then. I don't get this. Now, if it gets to be in Milwaukee struggles out of the gates and we're, you know, 15-20 or something like that, and the trade deadline's coming, and then New York called, and John Horst picked up the horn and is like, let me hear what you got. Now I'm interested. Here, who's got anything to gain but Shams? Nobody. Right?
The agent, maybe, because
for who?
If he's for his other representation,
but what team?
Besides Giannis,
what players that are on the New York or on Milwaukee?
No, if he's saying, look at all my other clients, look at how I've been working this with Giannis
who?
All offseason, I can do the same for you. The Giannis's agent, dude.
If I may,
Giannis's
and then we'll
agent,
get,
dude.
I wanted to get Evan Cohen, who's scheduled to appear next. I wanted to get his thoughts on it. But isn't the upside here for playing the long game for Giannis, for it to be out there that while we all want to believe he doesn't want to leave,
but we all know that
it's
already he wants the team to be better.
It sends a message that there's at least one team that he's interested. He would be willing to go to. I'm trying to explain why the agent who clearly cooperated with Shams on this story, right? He's got to be the source, because if the meeting was only a couple of people, then who's sharing that information?
It was either Horst, Giannis, or the agent. Yeah.
Right. So I would say that it gets the word out there. As of right now, there's only one team that Giannis would be interested in going to. But if you're thinking about maybe making a move for him next October, guess what? You better start putting your ducks in a row now, and maybe he'd
this
be open to other teams.
This is legitimately the most tired story of all time. It is tired. Freshen it up. Give me something. This is nothing about nothing. This is somebody who has had a bunch of different reports on this. Is there some smoke here? Obviously there is. That's where this conversation happened. And is that part semi-intriguing for people in New York, maybe the fans? Because obviously they want Giannis. Everybody wants Giannis. But where is the story moved?
Look, when a story like this comes out, I don't have a huge desire to discuss it. But, and if you want to say that this is benefiting the NBA conversation and we're contributing to it, fair. But again, when the preeminent now, because Woj has moved on, does a piece for the largest dispenser of NBA news.
This is the fifth one that he's done, though, and nothing has happened. It's been nothing about nothing.
I mean, the stuff about the meeting in Greece is that's new.
Great.
The stuff about the Knicks is new. What kind of
salad did he have in Greece? What did he have for lunch?
Caesar.
Oh.
Caesar you later.
Tzatziki sauce. Have to have tzatziki.
Does a Coors Light go well with that?
Coors Light go good with this. Ugh. Yeah, Coors Light goes great. I had a bunch of Coors Lights last night. And whether you're tailgating pregame, watching your team bounce back from down three, watching Contreras go yah-yah, watching the Miz come in and shut people down, watching a bullpen give up nothing, watching PCA pout like a petulant child. I didn't even see the other one, the clip that Wildy just tweeted, him firing his bat like a... He was petulant on petulant last night. He's PP, not PCA. Petulant on petulant. It was fun, and I'm just sitting back chilling with my Coors Light. Oh, baby. Brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and cold package because it is made to chill. We celebrated very responsibly. Coors Brewing Company at Golden, Colorado.
Evan Cohen joins us next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar. I'm throwing caution. What's it gonna be? Tonight the winds of change are blowing wild and free. If I don't get out of this town, I just might be the one who finally burns it down.
Time for Evan Cohen of Unsportsmanlike. Evan, good morning. How are you?
Jason, Tausch, Jesse, how are you guys?
Well, I think I've incurred the wrath of old T by bringing up this Sham story about Giannis. It's getting after me a little bit. Did you guys talk about it today in your program?
For like 2 seconds because it was breaking during it and we had a pretty busy day today.
What was breaking? Evan, what broke? What broke?
What, today?
No, yeah, you talked about it. What broke? Yeah, what broke?
Oh, no, we were just talking about the fact that I had said I don't buy any of the... Not that I don't buy Shams' reporting. I don't buy that there's any chance of him leaving at that point, and that I don't buy that, like, all the flirtation was ever going to amount to anything. So they were trying to get at me saying, oh, look, you were wrong about that. And I said, how was I wrong? And Nuno, our producer, was like, well, there was a time where he kind of asked out. I said, how did he ask out?
Yeah, where did he ask out?
Yeah. And I don't see the Knicks. If he gets traded.
They don't have anybody. I got to get Brunson. I got to get Brunson and half the team to get him.
By the way, Tausch, not to get too inside basketball.
Yeah.
What I said on our show today is that the Knicks should actually want to trade Brunson for him.
Yeah.
Because what that does.
I mean.
What that does is it actually improves your team defensively if you're in New York. And while it does not get it done if you're Milwaukee, it starts the discussions with Milwaukee.
And start with a conversation. Yep. Yep.
That's right. And it's, by the way, let's go one step forward further. If I'm the Milwaukee Bucks and I'm ever going to trade Giannis, Jalen Brunson doesn't make sense for me. But what Jalen Brunson does is maybe make sense for someone else. And now I'm dealing as a position of strength. Okay, the Knicks are in the mix. I now have gotten them to offer Brunson. So I'm going to get everything they possibly have plus Brunson, and then I'm going to use Brunson to call another good team and get everything they have because I'm going to give them Brunson. Because what does Brunson do for this team? Nothing, right?
No.
I'm not saying he's not a great player, but that's the point. So if you're not going to start with Brunson, then there's no discussion. The Knicks make no sense to me because this has to be a trade, not a signing.
No, I just don't understand, like, why now? You know, Shams, listen, man, Shams is good at his job. He's been pushing this.
Shams,
Chomps. He's Chomps. Pushing this narrative. Chomps. And I would be willing to bet right now that Jokic, my guy Jokic from Denver, is more likely to be moved before Giannis is.
That I wouldn't agree with.
Why?
That I would not agree with.
Why? Why?
Because there's an incorrect assumption that Jokic is just, like, playing for the Nuggets or going back to Serbia and, like, doesn't really care about anything, which, like, is funny because how could somebody who's that good not care?
Yeah.
But I think that it's easier to envision a scenario in which Giannis plays for another team than Jokic plays for another team, but I think it's even easier to assume that neither of them anytime soon play for another team, because I also think there's a dismissal by many people of the Bucks being good this year, and I think they're going to be okay. I mean, I watched them last night, and I thought, you know,
you would watch them last night.
Well, that, you know,
they played Miami.
They played the Heat?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they played the Heat.
All right.
It just so happens it works like a good slip-in if you don't know the context for me. Like, I was just watching the Bucks last night. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're pieces, and Miles Turner has a chance to be great for them. So I understand why you're saying this way, why you're saying it the way you're saying it, but I also understand why Jason's saying it the way he's saying it, because when has there ever been another tangible team linked to Giannis with information?
But it was
Miami's
linked.
Always,
but the
Miami
the,
has always
but
wanted
what was
him.
The
Toronto's
link?
Always wanted him.
Somebody said something. There wasn't like high level discussions or we're gonna do this. Like I don't know, man. I just think this is one of those deals where it's let's find the NBA needs to get a little some juice going because baseball's taken.
That's not how it works.
But
that's
I think it
works.
Is. No, I mean, just because you say it's
well,
not,
you're wrong.
Well, you're wrong. Okay.
I'm just telling you, how can I be wrong? Well,
what do you mean,
there?
How can you be wrong? Why else would you put it out right there? Like, what is the point? Who's gaining by doing
right,
this other than Chomps?
You're suggesting that someone is saying to the NBA team at ESPN, hey, we need some buzz right now. NFL is king. Baseball's in the playoffs. Hockey starts today. College football.
A lot of good stuff going on, yep.
Let's get in the mix here. Well, here's the sad thing, just so people understand.
Well, this did happen in the summer, Evan. This did happen in the summer.
No, then they're picking the wrong guy on the wrong team. Like, they just make something. If you're going to suggest that people are making stuff up, LeBron has already promoted that he's going to have an announcement today at noon.
I'm not saying you're making it up. I'm saying there's no they're there. Like, there's just no they're there.
But Giannis doesn't sell nationally the way that some of these other players do.
It certainly feels like he does.
No, he does not.
Okay.
He's amazing. Yeah. He's the first ballot Hall of Famer. Yeah. He's a class act.
Yeah.
Milwaukee
yep.
has embraced him.
Yep.
He has embraced Milwaukee.
Yep.
He's not LeBron James
nope.
or the
Steph.
Warriors guys
nope.
in terms of sell. So
nope.
if you're suggesting that someone is urging anyone, hey, I know you're 95% of the way to a story. Can you get to 100 today? If that's the case, you're not choosing the Giannis story. That's more about the Knicks, and as you mentioned, there's nothing.
Wait, is New York a big market?
They offered
New York's pretty big market. No,
there's nothing tangible in terms of what we just touched, which is that they offered Brunson, because that would be the move.
Yeah, that would make no sense from Milwaukee at all. Like if New York really wanted to do that, they shouldn't have traded 15 draft first round picks for Bridges. Like that's what they shouldn't have done.
All right. Anything else?
No.
Anything else?
I love how you just totally poo-poo it. Like, I wasn't saying it in that regard. What I'm saying is there's no there. There's just not there. There's nothing there. Like,
all right, so then, Josh, do it this way.
Yeah.
For both of you. And, Jason, don't give me the spiel of I'm not an NBA guy like you guys are. Just answer the question.
I'm just, in fairness, I'm just sitting here trying to figure out if you were dropping a Philip Seymour Hoffman on as Art Howe. With the anything else, she says
no,
to Billy.
It was not
okay.
that.
Just, that's where
by
my
the way,
mind.
You know, Mad Dog has this huge beef with that movie because they don't mention Mulder, Zito, and Hudson enough that they were actually great pitchers on that team, and there's not
uh-huh.
enough focus on their pitching,
uh-huh.
which is a fascinating thing.
Very
anyway,
true.
So if I were to say to you guys, Giannis were to get traded, what team would it be to?
Well, judging by Shams, it's New York.
Jason?
That's the only team that they've talked to.
Golden State.
Okay. Given out. That's why it's a story, because of what you just said. You're not entertaining another team, and we're talking about arguably the greatest athlete in the history of the state of Wisconsin being traded, and now we have a team that you feel comfortable at least answering that question about.
Hmm. Yeah, we're going to disagree on this, and that's okay. That's what makes the world go round, right?
Well, thanks, Josh. That's wonderful. Thank you. Any other life lessons?
No, I mean, we're just going to disagree on this. We just will, and that's okay.
Okay. Evan, I have a question about being a sports fan in New York.
Okay.
Can you be a Mets fan and a Yankees fan at the same time? Can you be a Jets fan and a Giants fan?
No.
Or do you absolutely have to pick one?
You absolutely have to pick one.
So you're a Mets guy, right?
Yes.
Which that did not go well for you the way they crashed and burned. So then are you rooting
Correct.
Against the Yankees as they are down 2-0 to the Jays? Is that how that works?
Correct. That's right.
Now I'm
a little different in this, or not I'm a little, like we are all a little different in this regard, because when I was in college at UW-Madison, my mentor, the great Matt LePay, said to me, and I'll never forget it, he goes, you're going to learn in this industry, you're going to end up rooting for people more than teams.
He's
so,
right.
For example, Joe Girardi was somebody that I have had a great relationship with in my life, and he was the manager of the Yankees. So I put my dislike for the Yankees to the side because I was rooting for Joe. Average everyday fan does not have relationships with people on teams. I'm sure there have been times where Tausch hates the Bears, Vikings, and Lions. One of his friends played for those teams, and while he's not rooting for the teams, you're kind of rooting for the guy to do well on those teams, right? Mm-hmm. Aren't you close with T.J. Lang, and wasn't he on the Lions, Tausch?
He was, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm sure you were rooting for him to do well without actually being a Lions fan, right?
That's a good point.
In New York, as an everyday person, hardworking person that is not involved with media or doesn't have relationships, you cannot root for both the Mets and the Yankees, nor the Giants, nor the Jets, nor the Knicks and the Nets, nor the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders. You can't do that. It's illegal. You should be arrested for that.
That's
so then, are you, because these two, and again, I don't want to misquote you guys, but you love the idea of the Brewers getting to the World Series and then beating the Yankees to win their first World Series title. Am I quoting you guys accurately from last week?
Yeah, I don't really care who they'd end up playing, but yeah, the Yankees would have been like a great, for you, for the storyline of the Bambino bats and all the stuff that the season started out
with torpedo bats
and a full circle finish that story arc would be, and to beat the 27 time world champs, that'd be awesome.
I wanted to beat the Cubs, Dodgers, and the Yankees to win
weird.
The World Series.
That doesn't make sense to me.
That's all
that's
right.
Getting actually a little bit cocky. I'll
Who
tell
is?
You why.
Who's getting cocky?
You guys. You and Jesse.
Why?
I mean, Jesse, who told me, oh, I had a very late night last night, quick turnaround. I said, Jesse, you're on at 9 a.m. How late of a quick turnaround did that
Plus, take? He had all day to
Give
rest up.
That's true.
Oh,
full day to rest. That is true.
Anyway, point that I'm making is, as a franchise, and the Brewers are amazing, but as a franchise that's never won, you know, like, it's odd to me that you're sitting there worrying about your opponent.
Well, I'm not worrying about it. We're having a conversation.
I know, but I'm just saying, I thought where you were going, which would have made a lot of sense, is sweeping the Cubs is actually like winning 6-0, because each win counts double because you're getting a Brewers win and a Cubs loss. In other words, if you were playing the Phillies and the Dodgers were playing the Cubs, you would simultaneously be rooting for the Brewers and against the Cubs, and those would be your two rooting interests if you're a Brewers
now
fan.
That makes
By
sense.
By winning the way
yeah.
you're winning, it's almost like if you sweep them, it's a 6-0 series victory.
Yes.
I would look at it if I'm a Brewers
yeah,
fan.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So by proxy, you're winning,
that's where we were going.
You're winning six. Well, I think Jesse's point was it'd be fun to beat all, you know, beat the Cubs, obviously the council storyline, and then take down the two biggest markets with the biggest payrolls, to really shove it up
and
everybody's keister.
And the team
keister.
That beat you in the 2018 NLCS.
And what a weird circumstance, by the way, because I saw the clip, I think it was from yesterday, with Pat Murphy defending counsel while also not going at the fans, and I know that's his guy, but what an interesting storyline this is.
Go pull in a bar.
Leaves. Right, exactly. Thank you, Coach Albert.
Go boo in a bar.
What an interest. I mean, do you think that he regrets his decision or no?
Who? Council?
If Council knew how good this team would be.
No, he doesn't regret it.
And the backlash from his home state.
No, he doesn't regret it.
Would he have done it differently?
Nope.
Because of the money?
No, I think it was. I think there's a multitude of things, but no, I don't think he regrets it at all.
I don't know, man.
I think he'll only regret it when it comes to an end if he never wins anything in Chicago.
Yeah, maybe.
Define winning anything, Jesse. You saying World Series or getting to the World Series?
At least getting to a World Series, but I think you don't leave Milwaukee where you're winning division titles and contending in the playoffs every year if you're not going to go somewhere with a bunch more on your payroll with the expectation you're going to win a World Series as a manager. Yeah.
And if they lose to the Brewers, which obviously is heading in that direction, but the Brewers lose the Dodgers, Council sits back and says, see, I told you so, even though we lost, that's what I'm talking about. I was going somewhere that couldn't actually compete with the Dodgers, right?
Yeah, but then they couldn't compete with us. So
validation.
They couldn't compete with us.
No, but his point.
Yeah, I know.
But your point's a good one, is then he's able to say, see, this, I was going to run into that brick wall anyway. So
right,
at least
exactly.
Here I got a different opportunity. And, yeah, I get it. I'm just saying, and I understand they lost both of the games, and I've watched both of his press conferences afterward, but he looks undeniably miserable that not only is his team playing like garbage, but also his moves have backfired. I mean, that line after game one about how the whole organization was okay with the decision of who to start as their first game one pitcher, and then watching him yesterday when he got asked a question about Churio and Mizorowski, like it is painful to watch, and I'm sure Jesse's enjoying every single minute of it.
That's fantastic.
Who would you guys say, by the way, because I don't know this like you guys do, who's the face of the Brewers that if they win it all, that's the Giannis, that's the Rodgers, that's the Favre, that's the Reggie White. Is there one person?
I think it's got to be Murph.
Let's just say they're good, like they've been. They're great. And there's not like, oh, my God, Churio's hit three home runs in one game. Like, let's just say they're just better than everyone.
Uh-huh.
From now until winning a World Series, who's the face of this
team? Yelly or Murph? That'd be the answer.
Because of the history with the franchise.
I think Yelich has been here. Yeah, I think it's Yelly or Murph.
Can we say Bob Uecker?
I was just going to say it's the ghost of Bob Uecker.
You can.
You know, actually, I have a letter, as a matter of fact.
Oh, don't do it. Don't
God,
do it.
God, that was so bad.
Don't do it.
That's it. So, no, Uecker is more of the presence felt and the honoring and the amazing, you know, member of the franchise that he is. But in the moment, it's Murphy. And Murphy's not young, right? I mean, he's not old, but he's not young, right?
He's in his 60s, yeah.
If they win it all, does he say, you know what, my whole life is built up to this, I've been a baseball man forever, let me walk off into the sunset?
No. He's a baseball guy. He's a baseball guy.
I do want to go back to the face thing. What about Peralta?
No.
If he has like a Oral Hershiser-type postseason?
Nope.
Or what if Churio, like to Evan's point, like if Churio has a huge this series and then the potentially the Dodgers series and then a World Series, like your reputation is made in the postseason. Mm-hmm. I would argue there
right,
is no clear-cut
that's
answer
variable.
Right now, and that would have to that someone would have to have that type of postseason to be that face of the franchise.
Yeah, no, it's Yelich or Murphy.
Right, but that was my premise. But that, Jason, that was the premise. Is let's assume that doesn't happen, and the entire team just plays to their regular season averages, which combined together is obviously better than every other team in the sport.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with you. I don't think there is one. That's what I'm saying. Like,
there has to be one.
I don't think that. I don't think. Does there have to be a face of the franchise if no one clearly is?
10 years from now, Mark Tauscher says, hey, I got this great idea for this unbelievable event honoring the 10-year anniversary of the Brewers World Series. And Tausch has great advertising partners jumping on board, and fans are going to show up, and we're going to sell out whatever it is, that wherever the location is.
And Tausch is going to throw out the first pitch.
Which, by the way, I saw a little background video of that the Brewers put out. I felt a little worse about making fun of Tausch. I didn't realize all the charitable work that he did that night.
It was great.
I never saw that. Yeah. Anyway, so who is the person that has to then be there is what I'm asking you.
It's Yelly. It's Yelly.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesse, you'd agree with that? I don't want to put you to too much work today. I know it was a late night, but I
appreciate that. Yeah, it's Yelich because he's been there the longest. He's been the face of this golden age of Brewers baseball through all these different playoff appearances. Yeah, it's him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Just had a question. Just was wondering.
All right.
What happened here, Tausch? You checked out, it seems.
No, there's no checking out. I mean, the Giannis conversation.
I think it was a self-checkout. You didn't even go through the person that was helping you. You self-checked out. You carried the little basket.
Yeah.
You didn't even bring the full cart today. You didn't bring the full cart. I felt like you had a hand basket.
I would say a bigger basket. Probably not a full cart, but a basket. It was a late night for me, too. Both Jelly and I both had late nights.
All right.
What time did you get home?
Late.
No, you didn't.
What time's late?
I stayed in Milwaukee, and I drove up crack early this morning to get here in time, and I beat Jesse to the office by 45 minutes, which I don't think should surprise anybody.
Wow. Not that you were keeping track.
No, I didn't keep track. Jesse does. Yeah. He keeps a log.
I pulled in the garage at 1:37 a.m. last night.
Warrior.
Jason, I have another question. I have another question for Jason Wilde. I'm going to put him on the spot right now.
Okay.
Jason, nothing confirmed, nothing guaranteed, no date set. But hypothetically, if I showed up to Madison and I brought people with me for an event, would you show up?
Depends on the date. Who are the people you're bringing with you?
Uh-huh. Interesting. Very interesting. That's telling.
Do I get to go to the tornado room where I've never been before?
No. No, that's not going to happen. You're not going to try me there? Nope. But no, I don't want it to be too late of a night for you. You know, quick turnaround the next day. Brewers
day. All right, I guess all we're right. done here.
Yeah, not bad.
I think so, too. Yeah, I think we're good.
Thanks, Evan.
But everybody enjoyed today. Bye, guys.
Go boo in a bar.
What a weird ending. Usually you two are getting after each other, and then
yeah,
it just
we
sort of
did in the beginning. We
there.
Got after it early, and then what are we going to get after? The Brewers kicking tail? Like the Brewers are kicking tail? They're nothing to get
know,
after
but
anybody.
Always some random thing that the two of you disagree about.
Yeah, we did on Shams.
But that wasn't random. We had already talked about it.
I didn't want to even talk about it. I think it's a nothing burger. But y'all keep bringing it up. I think it's a nothing burger.
There's a segue to Jones Dairy Farm there, but we'll wait for that. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
This ain't a good time.
Evan Cohen, even though our conversation was weird, it's always like hard to get him off the phone, and instead it was sort of died, kind of like the Cubs hopes after a few innings last night with Jesse and Tausch in attendance. I'd like to get to some Packers conversation in the 10 o'clock hour. I was curious one last thing about last night at AmFam Field. Did you two see each other at any point?
I did not see Jesse.
I ran into Bill Schroeder at the beer stand.
Oh, okay.
Did you fall down? He's a big fella.
He's strong.
Nice. No, he was just like among the people, just grabbing a beer. I'm like, hey, Bill. And so maybe Bill's
And
gonna...
he said, who are you?
I said, hey, Bill, Jesse from Wildy and Tally. Oh, he says to say hi to you guys, by the way.
So you do the preemptive intro to take the onus off of
that's
him.
I'm telling you,
love
that
it.
Is a nice gesture when
yes,
people do
love
that.
It.
Because
yeah.
you know what's really, I think actually kind of rude when somebody's like, do you remember me?
Yeah, don't you remember me?
No, that's
that.
Never good.
Yeah.
So, I think we might have a chance to catch up with Rock this week.
How do you handle it when somebody says, do you remember me? Do you try to, like, fake like you're trying to remember?
Say, well, help
or
me
how
out.
Do you go about that?
No, you say, help me out. And if they don't want to help you out, then whatever. But
buzz
no,
off.
Say, no, help you out. Help me out.
Drinking my Coors Light. Get out of here. Okay. Just curious. There were Coors Lights, I'm sure, consumed. Jesse had his little... Tito Rita or whatever he had planned out in the parking
Harvey
lot.
Harvey Wallbanger.
There
had a
you
Wallbanger
go.
Yesterday. It was delicious.
But did you grill up some nice protein meat from Jones Dairy Farm while you were doing
you
it?
You should have. Jones Dairy Farm is family owned and operated for 7 generations in Fort Atkinson all the way back to 1889. Best known for their all natural sausage made from the original family recipe. If you see on the video, I tried to get Philip to give me that original recipe, he was not biting. Matter of fact, he said, one of those deals, if he tell you, ain't going to be good. That's how good that
That's
recipe
what he said?
Is.
Well, he's not going to be good?
No, just like
gonna,
that, he said.
I'm not going to get into all of it. Check out the video if you want to see that. But their sausage is made with fresh meat only. There's no fillers. There's no nitrates, MSG, or gluten. They also have great natural smoked ham, Canadian bacon, and, of course, their dry-aged bacon, which is top-notch. Check out the website at jonesdairyfarm.com and find all of Jones' great products across all grocery stores throughout the state of Wisconsin.
The 10 o'clock hour of Wildy and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.